Hey, what's up? It's Taylor. Before we get into this one, just want to let everyone know we did an episode, tribute episode to Kobe Bryant, RIP, January 26, 2020. Gonna leave 8 seconds after this and then get into the show. I was looking for music to put in for the intro and outro, but nothing seemed to fit the mood that I was looking for. I think situations like this sometimes silence is what we need. So I'm gonna leave a quick break, then we'll get into it.
Hey, it's Bobby Manning here on Dome Theory, formerly known as the Bobcast, and we're coming to you live from Syracuse, New York, where we had to do an impromptu episode, one that none of us want to do, one that I think we're all having a hard time believing that we're doing today, and that is on the death of Kobe Bryant. And we just finished up watching Celtics-Pelicans here, and throughout the show, visions of LeBron from the helicopter walking out of his airplane in LA, seen from Staples Center, people lined up in droves out to see what really was the house that Kobe Bryant built. Magic Johnson today called him the greatest Laker ever. And frankly, as I was typing this out on the post-game show intro, like, in honor of the death of Kobe Bryant, it just sounded so weird to say. So I got my friends with me here today, our usual associate producer, Taylor McLeod, my buddy Gilman, Anthony Obas,
your boy DJ Yo,
and Nate Dogg, Nate
Nate
Sperling,
Sperling, Old Milk,
who's known as Old Milk in his own terms. Yeah, so we're all here to remember the life of Kobe Bryant. It was just so tragic this morning. We were sitting here, we were talking about him, right,
we were
Obas?
talking about
Why were we talking about Kobe this
because we
morning?
was talking about being what is the greatest athlete in NBA, and we came up with was it Michael Jordan and
Yeah.
how he played defense and how Luka's not going to be one of the greatest players
Oh,
in
that
NBA
is
in
right.
the next
So we were talking
years.
about the fact that Kobe brought it defensively.
Yeah.
And Jordan too.
Yeah.
So we were discussing that defensive aspect of becoming an all-time great. And really the drive you need too. I mean, these two were just phenomenal athletes. We heard the stories about like his workouts, Taylor. I mean, we were remembering the practice he had with Nick Young and that whole Lakers squad where he was just cursing everybody out.
Yeah, I mean, that's his legacy. That's what he's always been known for, is being that killer, the Mamba mentality. But I think the way he's acted the last 4 years is almost more important, because a guy of his stature, he's an icon. He's not just one of the best players. He's an icon in a couple different areas just surrounding basketball. So guys with that legendary status, I mean, when they retire, they can kind of pick two choices, like stick around or disappear. And no one would have said anything if he disappeared, but he's, you know, stuck in the game, whether it's ESPN detail talking to young guys like Tatum, Booker, all those guys. Just, you know, the whole pushing women's basketball forward, all that. I think that's almost more important than him being the killer on the court.
Was that video of him and his daughter from a WNBA game?
No, that was from a Lakers game a
Okay.
couple weeks ago. I think that was from the
Okay. But
game.
he was frequenting WNBA games.
Yeah, no, he was
Yeah.
always
Definitely.
there. He was involved with, you know, college women's college women's basketball, and obviously his daughter Gianna's team. Rest in peace, Gianna, as well.
The guy just loved basketball. Like, his life was basketball. Everybody around the world knew him, and he was someone who, like, inspired other people to play around the world. I mean, they're only really, I mean, Tyler, who do you think worldwide are the five most recognizable basketball players ever?
I'd say, well, first and foremost, my name's Tyler. Thanks for getting that right. I'd say LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, of our lifetime or just all time?
All time.
Michael Magic Johnson, and then probably, that's a tough one. But I mean, you any number of guys, but in terms of international growth, I'd say Kevin Durant.
Yeah, and the fact that we say Kobe right after Jordan is so fitting. You know, this is a guy who came up watching Jordan and really just modeled himself after him, it felt like, Nate. Like that's honestly what I look at, is that he had those shoes to fill. He made it his mission to fill those shoes. And honestly, he ended up with his own shoes. We're probably talking about Kobe's as like the second greatest shoe ever, right? LeBron didn't get to number two. And honestly, there's still a lot of people out there who believe that Kobe had a better career than LeBron. Now's not really the time to talk about that, but, like, you know, he was able to get himself not quite to Jordan's level, but to the place where we're talking about those two in the same sentence.
I mean, when you talk about Kobe Bryant, he's literally the best player from the 2000s on, in terms of just the killer mentality, the championships, like just willing himself to victory every night. Even one moment that stands out to me the most about how much he really cared about the game was when he was dragging the Lakers to that playoff appearance and he tore his Achilles. Obviously, a torn Achilles is a very, very tragic injury. However, he still brought himself to the free throw line to make those two free throws. So that just shows like how much of a champion he was in the Mamba mentality that he just put on display.
It feels so weird that we're talking about this today. I mean, this guy was going to be in coaching. He was going to be a legend around the game. Didn't he just get inducted into the Hall of Fame too?
It was going to be this year. But I mean, like, LeBron passed him for third all-time scoring last night, and immediately Kobe tweets out, like, you know,
that was
keep
last
push,
night.
Yeah, yeah, keep pushing the game forward. Like, respect to King James. Like, it was just, it's out of nowhere, like, the videos of him and Gianna at games were 2 weeks ago. He was just on All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson last week. He was on Knuckleheads with, you know, D-Maz and Quinn Richardson a couple months ago. Like, it's not like it's like, it was just like Kobe was just living. It's not like he was gone and then this happened. It's like every day, Kobe was just like on TV everywhere, and then it comes to a halt.
Yeah, and we know the impact on guys like Jason Tatum who are working out with him. We still have Shaquille O'Neal on TV. Like, hearing his reaction today was so crazy.
I mean, Kyrie left the Garden.
It was insane.
Yeah, Kyrie didn't play tonight against the Knicks. Obviously, those two were close. It's crazy.
It was insane. Like, there's really no other way to put this, is that, like, no one saw this coming. I heard someone on the radio talking about, you know, we write obituaries of famous people, like, as we see their death coming. No one had an obituary ready for this guy. I mean, he was 41 years old. He still had so much more impact to make in the world. Tyler, for you and me, and Taylor too, as Celtics fans, like, we remember coming into our own as sports fans, battling this guy, and just the size of the opposition that he himself provided in those finals, whether it was 2008 or 2010, like, he was just otherworldly. And we had Kevin Garnett, we had Paul Pierce, we had Ray Allen, we had three Hall of Famers, and it felt like that was what you needed to counteract him.
Kobe was one of them, Tim Duncan was the other, and now LeBron. And just those three guys have just always been a gigantic force in the league, just absolutely just doing incredible things, and on a nightly basis, both for the game and outside of the game for their communities too. And just watching them was just an absolute privilege, especially Kobe.
So this morning, TMZ reported it first. It was a helicopter crash. They were going to his daughter Gianna's game. Kobe was coaching her team. You had another coach in the helicopter. It was a baseball coach, too, a famous...
I think it was a parent.
Oh,
I think it was
right,
a college
was a
baseball
talent.
Coach. I think it was just parents. But
so he was
still,
just a talent, parent.
Rest in peace to that.
Student.
You know, that family, too.
Yeah.
Thoughts with that family, too. It's not just, it's not just Kobe Bryant.
Helicopter.
It's not just everybody there. I mean, and like, speaking about the Celtics thing, Kobe's part of the reason I care about the Celtics the way I do. Like, that 2010 Finals, you know, 12 years old, you think, you know, especially being a Boston sports fan, a lot of it's been gravy. You go to championships and our teams have won them, and then Kobe just took it.
Rivalry time. Yeah.
Right. And it was like, oh, Celtics, Lakers, like, we're coming into, you know, like, where you can really be a fan, really understand it. And, like, that's our first taste of Celtics Lakers is, you know, getting your heart ripped out by Kobe. So it's like,
man, I will never forget that feeling. And now this is two times Kobe's made me cry in my life. You know, today and that 2010 Game 7. Because I remember that was a massive lead in that fourth quarter. And there was 7-8 minutes left. I was planning out the parade. It wasn't so much him. He had one of his rougher games in playoff history there. But, you know, him willing his way to the rim, taking shot after shot. He was the guy who just, no matter how bad of a game he was having, he was going to keep shooting for better or for worse. And that was something that defenses had to respect. And you see that image of him standing on the sideline right now with the confetti falling. They threw the ball down. I was devastated because I was so certain the Celtics were going to win one. We were going to have a parade. And then him and Gasol and them just tore it apart. That was just, as much as that was a quintessential moment for young Lakers fans, that was like the gut-wrenching moment of the decade for all Celtics fans.
And that 2006 season he had, too, where he just ruled the Lakers by himself. I mean, he's incredible. He really was incredible. And he just, it didn't matter what you threw at him. He was going to get his buckets, and the game will really miss him.
I mean, you talk about the Celtics, man. Y'all gave him so many rivalry, but, man, we got to talk about the Spurs, man. The Spurs always gave him a tough time, you know, when you had Tony Parker, Manu, Jackson, right? You also had Tim. Like, they were throwing so many doubles at him, you know? I was telling Bob's back in, what was it, 07, right? There was Western Conference Finals when they was going at it, right? It was just intense. Like, I don't know how many different lineups popped through at him, but it was insane, you know? It, like, the Spurs was always at him, you know? This man was always venom.
That was the thing. Yeah, we go back to the beginning of his career when he had those monster teams with Shaquille O'Neal. What was stopping those teams from going to the finals every year except for the Spurs? I mean,
oh, that's what
it
was. Kobe said that. I was watching interviews. Funny enough, this morning I was watching old interviews with Kobe, you know, sitting down with Tracy McGrady, you know, sitting down with other players,
yeah.
Sitting down with, you know, Rachel Nichols. And in one of them he said, I mean, the reason everyone asked, like, how many championships would you and Shaq have won, you know, had you stayed together? He said, I mean, the Spurs played a part in it. Like,
mm-hmm.
If the Spurs aren't the Spurs, then, yeah, we can run them off. But, like, Tim Duncan and them were still there.
And that's why we remember a lot of basketball people think of Duncan's career being better than Kobe's because of the fact that he was able to stay in front of Kobe. Like, that was, like, a massive part of it. And they were able to win championships with a guy that large in their way. Like, they're just interconnected. LeBron and Kobe, interconnected as anybody. And
yeah.
We never got that finals.
Yeah, that's
all
the
those years.
All those
wanted
that. Never, ever got it. And it's a shame that we never got it. Literally, probably the best moment that I can think of off the top of my head with Kobe and LeBron was that All-Star game when Kobe was about to retire.
Yeah.
But besides that, just think about it. A Kobe and LeBron finals.
I know.
Arguably two of the top five players ever in the finals. Like, when have you ever seen that?
Everybody was itching for that every year.
Yeah,
the Celtics prevented it. Other years it was the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
You had those two.
That year was a Magic.
Yeah.
Magic.
That was Dwight Howard.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember that year, man.
09. And then Kobe got his fourth, and then he got his fifth the year right after. What an era that was for NBA basketball. And you know what? Everyone's talking right now about, oh, basketball is dying. Everybody's playing the same style of game, blah, 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 blah. That's for a different episode. But I will say this. You don't really have guys with distinctive styles like Kobe's fadeaways and all those spin moves he had and the heavy dribbling and just the artistry to his game, the mid-range game that he displayed. No one's doing that today.
Well, I mean, well, the game has obviously changed to a point where you're being told not to shoot a lot of those mid-range shots. Obviously, with the Celtics stuff, we know how much people railed on how Jason Tatum played last year after working out with Kobe in the offseason, but the thing about Kobe is you don't hear a lot of these NBA players saying, I grew up modeling my game after LeBron. Like, you hear Ben Simmons say it, you hear Luka say it, but it's like, yeah, you're 6'9", 6'10", you're gifted.
No.
Like, that's why everyone, like, whether it's, like, throwing stuff in the trash can, whatever, like, people always yell on Kobe, but anytime you, like, listen to these young guys talk, I mean, Devin Booker's warming up today, he's got the Kobe's on, you know, tears in his eyes. You look at his game, and there's a lot of Kobe in his game, there's a lot of Kobe in Tatum's game, so it's like, you see Kobe in a lot of these young players more than any other player. And I remember it. 2010, you win a finals. And then you start to have that 2011, 2012 era when, like, everything was kind of, like, coming together.
Yeah.
Obviously, LeBron's taking off as a player, but Kobe had the shoes, like, the Kobe's. Everything was going crazy. And Kobe was still, like, an icon. Even when, like, his play was falling and the Lakers weren't necessarily in the conversation anymore, like, it was still, like, Kobe, LeBron, KD, who's number one?
We just finished talking about David Stern and how that brought the game worldwide. I think Kobe embraced that as much as anybody. This guy in China is like, has to be
huge.
Number one or number two.
No one else
huge.
Is showing up to the gym in any uniform, but like people wear full Kobe uniforms here.
Yeah.
At Q's, like
yeah.
To the gym.
It's crazy.
They're playing pickup ball in like the number 8 Kobe jersey with the Lakers shorts and everything.
Yeah.
And the pride that with which him, LeBron, those guys brought to that Team USA, the gold medals that they won with
Melo. Yeah, the Redeem Team, 2004, they lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they needed these guys to
revive
the U.S.'s stature in basketball around the world. And when you have that talent, you're going to do it. But the guys had to go out there with enthusiasm and do it. And they all did take pride in that. I mean, those are some special USA teams. that he was at the center of. And that's why you gain that status worldwide. You're in the Olympics going against these other countries and doing amazing things.
Like, he didn't have it easy. Like, I keep telling him, like, the thing what I love about Kobe, man, he didn't have it easy. Like, from on the court, off the court, you know, just from, like, the Achilles and shoulders injuries. Like, I always talk about his documentary, The Muse, right? This man's on a wheelchair at the free throw line in the Staples Center, 5 a.m. shooting free throws, you know? There's no man in the NBA that I've seen that works harder than this guy, though. Hands down. Like, he comes back still shooting. This is his passion. This is what he loves to do. You know, and you see it in his eyes. Nothing will ever be. My favorite Kobe moment had to be 2001 when AI and him went at it in the freaking finals. Two people that was viewed as villains in the NBA. They went at it, and they went at it with stone cold killing.
And he didn't want to be liked. He loved being hated.
He loved it. He embraced it. That's why he became the Black Mamba. That's why he came the Black Mamba. That was his identity. That shit from 8 to 24, he embraced that shit. And that's what he loved to do.
Oh my, they gave it to him in Boston all those years, Tyler. And more often than not, he made him pay. You went to the last game you ever played at the Garden, right? Can you remember that one?
Oh, absolutely. I was with my brother, and I was honestly in disbelief when the entire Garden, except myself and my brother, were cheering for this man. I mean, he's like the, as Taylor was saying earlier, he's a huge reason why I became even a bigger Celtics fan than I was, because that anger, that rivalry just brought out the best. And then just seeing him just so beloved by everyone, it really took my breath away. And honestly, it gave me a different perspective as to what he meant to the game and what he meant to everyone, even people within Boston.
There's so many funny clips and incredible moments from his career between the 8 and 24. How crazy was it that they could do the 8 and 24 shot clock violations too? Incredibly creative and crazy that you could do both of those for his two numbers throughout his career. I love the one where he's on the inbounds against Matt Barnes.
Barnes
is on the just standing
Well, that's
there.
Why Matt Barnes joined the Lakers the next year, and both of them say that's why. Because Matt Barnes would, like, mess with Kobe, and I guess Kobe hit him and was like, if you're crazy enough to, like, mess with me on the court, then you can play with me. Like, come over to L.A. That's cool.
20 years with the same organization. He was going to try to push out of there by the time Pau Gasol was coming around, but that does force the Lakers to make a move. It was a similar deal with Paul Pierce in Boston before they finally made the moves that they did. And bringing back Celtics-Lakers was just massive for this league. That was really the turning point for the league. I mean, there were some messy times in the 2000s. You had the Malice at the Palace. You had some, like, gritty finals matchups. 2007, the final sweep. Like, the bringing Lakers, Celtics back before LeBron reached that new level with the Heat, before Steph Curry came into the league, that 2-3 finals run that they had was a massive moment for interest in the league. Because, you know, you hadn't had a Celtics-Lakers series since the 80s.
I think it's also really special. Shout out Trae Young for wearing number 8 tonight. I thought that was really,
definitely
beautiful.
There's going to be some incredible tributes. They're going to do a Lakers Staples Center funeral, I'd imagine. Almost 10 years after Michael Jackson had his funeral there. It's probably going to be a similar outpouring of support in L.A. there. Like, this guy just became L.A. too. He was from Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
He gets drafted by Charlotte and then just ends up there. Like, it was finished. He embodied L.A., a lot of what he was able to do over his years there. And there was just a special attachment that L.A. had. You were just out in L.A.
I actually was.
You know, what is it about that city and him that matched together?
Honestly, it's a Kobe town, man. Like, L.A. is the place for superstars, and Kobe was definitely one of the biggest superstars the NBA has ever had. Just everything about L.A. screamed success, and Kobe Bryant was someone who put that on the map and allow people to say basketball is back, essentially. It's amazing that teams have already decided to retire his number.
The Mavericks are retiring his number.
I've heard ideas about people retiring 24 across the league. One thing that I think would be kind of cool is people retiring the number 81 for the 81 points they scored against Toronto across the league. But also, when you talk about Kobe, too, you have to think about all the commercials and all the great moments that he's had off the court.
Like jumping over the car,
the car was amazing. Also, that one commercial he had with Jalen Rose, where he talks about like the 81 points, is so hilarious.
Or the Mamba system with Kanye.
Yeah.
come on. Like,
oh man, and two similar personalities right there, really. And the puppets.
Now we don't have to get into it, but I disagree.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
We'll save that one. I mean, they were just so.
One thing
here's why I draw the parallel. It's that hyper obsession over their product.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
That
and
yes, as the worker. Yes. Okay.
Everything.
Yes.
His teammates, the organization, everything was an arm and extension of what he was trying to do there. And you know, LeBron reached that capacity to some degree, but it felt like Kobe had a stronger grip on that earlier in his career. And I guess having Shaquille O'Neal alongside helps you a little bit in that regard.
Well, he was a young guy on a team full of vets. He
like,
he couldn't go out. Like, he couldn't do anything. He's 17, 18, 19 years old with a team full of vets who didn't want him there.
Mm-hmm. And we talk about the difference between the number 8 Kobe and the number 24 Kobe, too.
Huge.
It was a massive transformation in that regard. And you know, it's interesting. When he was 24, everything was an extension of him. And he had full control over those practices. If you were slacking, he was on top of you. It's leadership. Some people could deal with it, other people couldn't.
It's funny that you bring up the 8 and 24 comparison, because I actually have a question for the panel in the first place. Which player is actually better, 8 Kobe or 24 Kobe?
I'll talk first. I mean, I'm an 8 guy in terms of like scoring and stuff like that. Filthy guy. But in terms of who I would go with today is 24. 24 had a huge impact on our generation. Again, like on and off the field, right? You see so many people's games being copied by him, right? Jason Tatum studies him. Or even on the show that he has on ESPN, the Kobe Bryant one, seeing how he dissects like Jason Tatum's game just from the jab, pull up, jump shot. It's like you see how the fruition of his game is. So 24 is always my guy in terms of maturity. And how he's led, and how he's led on and off the court.
Guys are gonna. This almost brings him to that, and we talk about this too with, you know, guys who die early, almost take on that like mythical status. And he already had that to some degree when he was retiring and out of the game. People modeling their games after him, the shoes, all that stuff, the commercials. Now, you just have that to remember him by. You don't have the person there. And it's almost going to bring him to a new level, I feel like, of influence for people who are coming back into the game. Because we were thinking about this probably just about a week or two ago. You know, you don't hear as many people shooting papers in the trash can and yelling Kobe. You know, you had Curry kind of taking that spot. You had LeBron taking that spot. But for younger people, people who couldn't remember
Kobe. I agree with Steph, but I don't know if you can have more influence than Kobe already did. Like, the amount of access we've always had to every part of his life.
Yeah.
To everything. It's like, the only thing you really hear is that he, like, didn't go out. He, you know, his, like, peers didn't see him out and about. But, like, in terms of, like, we had access to everything. Like, up through his, you know, being upset in the beginning. Or no, like, winning championships at the beginning, being upset at the end of Shaq. You know, good again, all the injuries that kind of ended things, and even post-career, like, we've had even more access post-career. So I don't know if he can have more influence, but, like, in terms of the mythical, like, icon status, you're right, it's a different level. Like, Tim Duncan is one of the greatest players of all time, and everyone knows that, but he's not the icon Kobe is.
No,
he's
not
just not. And obviously it's, like, gameplay and style and all that and everything, but, like,
as well.
He has 2 numbers retired in the Staples Center. Like, things like that, normal people don't have that. And to answer, like, Nate, like, I think 24 is a more refined player, but when you watch highlights of number 8 Kobe, like, some of the stuff, he has one in transition, he goes behind his back, reverse dunk.
Oh,
nasty.
Nasty.
Like,
oh.
In transition, like, going full speed, like, in it, like, just, like, wrapped
eight.
It behind his back, and then spun around, and then dunks it.
Was that the same year he won the dunk contest?
No, that was 97, so he would have been, like, a little older by this, but, like, some of the stuff... I mean, Tracy McGrady and him were talking about this morning when I was watching it. You know, T-Mac came down, gave Kobe a bucket, almost made him fall over, but then Kobe came down and dunked on, like, 4 defenders immediately. Like, you know, hit a little crossover and then just, like angrily. And, like, we weren't necessarily old enough to remember super athletic Kobe for a ton,
right.
Which is unfortunate because I would have loved to, like, gotten to experience a little more of, like, young number 8 Kobe.
Right.
But I think number 8 Kobe was more fun to watch, you know, in terms of highlights and from what I remember, so... That's where I'm going.
There were rumors earlier in the day. There was a lot of messy reporting with this one. You know, different numbers of people dying on the plane.
Like, yeah, I didn't even like
want to
like
versus,
get into it crazy like that. But.
Yeah, I mean, that was tough, but then we go into whether there were going to be games today or not. I mean, that's what we were reaching a point with his influences, the rumors that there were going to be games canceled. There were conversations had. You know, I heard from people within the league that there were conversations had about that logistically. They weren't able to do it. But think of that. I mean, they were on the verge of canceling games today over this man's death. I mean, you have players crying pregame. It's just...
He's one of the top three most influential players ever.
It's heavy.
Like, it's him, Jordan, LeBron. Those are the three people argue as greatest of all time. Those are the three. However you feel about it, those are the only three players in that conversation, the only three players that have that type of like feeling around them. I think Kevin Durant will be the next one to get there if, you know, he comes back like injury-wise. But like, it's only those three that people talk about like that. It's like, are you a Kobe guy? Are you a Jordan guy? Are you a LeBron guy?
Yeah.
That's how it is.
And the funniest part about that is what Nate said before we got on here. Kobe would have been like, what the hell? We're not playing?
Right.
No, I mean, that's what he would have wanted. He wanted would have wanted everybody to play today, and it was nice to see everybody out there competing. Some great games. It was a Pelicans-Celtics game, was really good tonight. I thought, even though the Celtics lost, and you know, we can don't even have time to get into that game here on the post game side of this because this just overtakes it all on a day like this. The 24 sitting on the shot clock we're watching right now. The shoes. Kobe Bryant's shoes all over the league. It's just crazy. It's insane.
And I think what's really impressive, too, is just the fact that he was a Laker his entire career.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it's just, 100%, we definitely hold those players in a different regard. I mean, Dirk, Duncan, as we discussed, but I mean, obviously Kobe was just a way bigger figure than him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he had basically two separate dominant runs with the same team, and he stuck it out through injury and just even through some messy management, just I give him all the props in the world.
Going to be some incredible tributes coming, too. I already mentioned that funeral. You got to imagine.
But like, think about the tributes you got. Like, last night, we got 11 minutes of LeBron talking like beautifully about Kobe just because he passed him on the list. Not nothing sad. Just like, that's like one of my mentors, one of my peers. I passed him. Like, listen how crazy that is. Just, it doesn't feel real.
He got a feeling before he went out, too, of what kind of impact he had on the game. In his last season with that goodbye tour, and then it got capped off with the Jazz game.
Yeah,
and that's—I mean, we already have a song by the game that mentions that moment, scoring 60 on the Jazz, most points ever by a player in the final game.
Yeah.
We all gave him crap at the time because he went out there and took every single shot.
We all
did. Forced himself to that game.
We all did.
I did.
It's just Taylor always apologized for the unpopular guys who got a lot of crap during their career, but it's still crazy that you can will yourself to that on your last legs as he was. Because after that Achilles injury, he wasn't the same player.
He wasn't the same.
What's crazy is I just assumed he was going to be too. Because it was Kobe, he tore his Achilles at like 34 years old, and I was like, okay, like, it's Kobe. He'll be fine. And then he like broke his kneecap the next year.
Oh,
and I was like, all right, well, okay, a little older, but whatever, still Kobe. Like, it's Kobe.
Right.
And then the shoulder, and I was like,
I think it's also funny, the events leading up to Kobe's last game in the first place, in terms of Shaq challenging him to get 50.
Yeah.
And I'm here sitting now, like, watching TNT, saying, he's not getting 50.
I mean, Jay-Z
was
there, Kanye was there, Snoop
was
there, everyone
was
there.
It was legitimately a moment, and just the outpouring of love and support for Kobe shows how much the game is going to miss him.
Let's talk about Shaq, too. Because Shaq sent him a message today. We're reaching a moment of reckoning on their relationship, too. They had had some conversations, and there's been some documentaries, and Jeff Perlman has a new book coming out about the Showtime, and then, of course, the second Showtime era with them. We were finally starting to see them get back close to, like, a talking level, because it always been awkward between them.
Yeah.
You know, they had met up, and there'd been a couple different resolutions between those two, but the way they broke up, one of the greatest basketball stories of all time, because those two, if they were able to stay together, depending on how Shaq would have held up, he probably would have held up better being alongside Kobe in that competitive atmosphere. But that, they won three championships together. They maybe could have won 6, 7, 8 if they were able to keep it going. Like, they were just on such a tear. They had such ownership over the league. The finals that they were winning was just overwhelming dominance, too, and all that could break them up was each other. That's what ended that dynasty, was both of them.
Yeah, that's what happens, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shaq had his thing. Shaq, both of them were right to act the way they did. It happened.
But I also appreciate how both of them, like, after time passed, both of them took responsibility for their role.
100%.
Like, I feel like that was just super grown up, and that just shows how things are supposed to be done.
And, I mean, this morning, Sharif O'Neal is tweeting out, like, DMs he was having with Kobe this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kobe just, like, checking in on, like, hey, you good? Like, stuff like that. Like, it's just crazy. Doesn't feel real at all.
I still go back to how expressive his game was, too. So much of it was modeled after Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
The free throw form that he had, the shot, the moves in between. But he made it his own, in a way, through his personality, through the city, like through so many different means. He was so modeled after Jordan, but eventually it became him.
He's our Jordan.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think it's funny that you bring up that Jordan comparison too, because I don't know if anyone else has seen the video. That video of like them playing like basketball, and like you literally switch the frame. One frame is Jordan,
yeah,
and the other frame is Kobe, and
it's
like
it's
the same
thing.
Exact move. Like that was just so impressive. Like that's Kobe. I mean, Kobe, man. So like
I mean, this one thing I do have to say today, and I'm waiting for a word on him, but man, I would love to hear what Phil Jackson has to say about coaching Kobe, because
mm-hmm.
we be forgetting, man, the coaches are really one of the big... Phil Jackson, as a coach, really led that Lakers team into a conversation that we're having today. And, I mean, you had Derek Fisher on that team. You had Lamar Odom, Paul Gasol, like, led back with Kobe. And you also had Phil, you know? I would love to see what he has to say about, you know, the passing of Kobe and what's his thoughts on coaching Kobe. Because it's not easy coaching players like Kobe.
No.
Come on. Like, you have a guy that says, give me the ball every single time. How do you coach that? You know, and Phil has played a big role in them winning that dynasty type stuff, you know?
And
so
I think it's funny, too, because we were just having this discussion probably like 2 days ago about like how great players don't end up being good coaches because of the success and the commitment that they demand from their players every day that leads to them not having that much patience. And I think Kobe definitely would have been one of those. I mean, he did coach his daughter's basketball team as well, I will say that, but at the same time, like coaching at the NBA level, I'm not sure how much patience.
Yeah, I bet there was a difference.
No, yeah, exactly. He said the cool thing about like coaching like younger people was just being able to like sit back and let them figure it out. Like watch him, you know, like them relearn he's like relearning basketball again, you know?
Yeah.
From the ground up.
All that stuff is like what makes it so much worse too. Like remembering him as like the basketball player in the 20-year career and everything, but like I think, and I keep going back to it, but like really like 4 years of retirement, but really this last year when we were really getting like windows into his everyday life,
mm-hmm.
and you know, like he and Gianna were out way more like at pro games, WNBA, NBA. I think all that's what makes it worse, because you could see that sometimes someone like Michael Jordan, like he retired, then came back, and then got into ownership. Kobe, it's like you saw the path.
Yeah.
You saw it was opening itself, and it just sucks.
Yeah, and he's the model of a complicated figure too. I mean, he had the thing that everyone's gonna bring up, the door case. You know, people are going to bring that up, and it's a worthy discussion to have about how that impacts his legacy. And it feels like not all great people, but a lot of great people have that moment in their lives that you have
mm-hmm.
to reckon with. Because he did so much great in this world, but you do have to grapple with that, too. And how much atonement did he make for it during his life? Did it actually happen? There's a lot of questions there that people are going to have to grapple with his legacy, too. And that happens with a lot of great people.
Yeah.
You know, you almost look at someone like LeBron, who has just a spotless record, and think like that's what adds to his legacy too, is that you don't have something like that with him.
I definitely agree with that. I think also too, like I was outraged earlier in seeing the coverage around Kobe Bryant, because literally like minutes after he had, like it was confirmed that he had passed, people were talking about the bad moments that he had throughout his life. And my thing is that there's a time and a place for that.
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah,
there's so many people who were impacted by Kobe, good and bad. However, this was the time for mourning, and this was the time to remember all the great things that he's done throughout his life.
The hardest
and not really just like completely dump on a man because of
the hardest part there is you're walking a line between defining his life through his worst moment and also showing respect. And, you know, belief in the victim.
know. Yeah, but there's a 13-year-old girl that, like, just, yeah. You know what I mean? Today, yeah, like, we can do, yeah, we can do another day. Yeah. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm. And the people who brought that up first and foremost on him were just idiots looking for attention, I feel like.
When you look at stuff like this, and it gets worse and worse with every event that happens, but the way, and I, you know, we're all guilty of it because we, you know, keep seeing it. Like, right. The way we all run to Twitter and run to the internet when everything happens breeds this horrible, like, cycle of, you know, media reporting,
yeah,
and conversation and, you know, stuff. And there's no, like, civility with just, like, taking a step back and being, like, there are reportedly 9 people dead. Like,
yeah.
Like, three daughters and a mom, like, that don't, like, it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, there's a time and a place, and it's not minutes or hours or even, like, the day that it happens. Like, there's more time,
yeah,
later.
Absolutely.
It was also very insane to me how the most credible source throughout this whole, like, finding out
information
was TMZ.
TMZ.
Yeah.
And
day for TMZ.
Yeah, and, like, and that's some, like, that's an organization that hasn't really done right by people in the past.
Right.
But for, you have NBC, ABC,
Fox,
CBS, all these companies who are known to be doing good journalism, literally rushing.
They
to
are the big four. They
yeah.
are. They are,
like,
the news.
They're literally
yeah.
the pillars of news, and for them to just simply be outshined by TMZ because of their rush to be first,
yes.
which has gotten worse over the years, is really disappointing for me.
It
was tough.
I definitely agree, but, you know, this is about time for Kobe. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, there's nothing. I was out here sitting here crying about Kobe when the situation happened. You know, I'm still kind of, like, upset about the Kobe situation. You know. That's like another conversation. Like, Kobe has done so much. I mean, the guy got an Oscar. Like, right? We talk about legacy. Like, fuck all the bullshit that happened. You know what I'm saying? The impact that he's had. He, like, the line that freaking Stein said about he gave people the ability to pick up a basketball. Kobe did that for our generation. You know what I mean? Like, we always bring up some type. Like you said, we always bring up the negative. But, like, think about the impact. Like, a lot of kids grew up playing basketball. Like, basketball was their way of, like,
out.
Making moves out. Was it a way for them to let go?
He's a god internationally.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Like, China, like, his influence in China is crazy.
It's crazy.
And next to, like, Yali Houston Rockets, like, it's Kobe.
It's Kobe.
I like what you said earlier, too, Obas, because regardless, you know, whatever judgment you have about the case that he had, it was an embarrassing moment for him as an individual. Him within the context of his family.
Right.
Because, you know, he admitted he had sex with that woman, regardless of what you think the outcome was of that. You know, he was a married man. And you saw a change in him after that moment of embarrassment for him worldwide.
He came back like a deadly force, like, no matter
what.
Well,
that's where Black Mamba
comes
from.
That
switch to 24, that's what all,
yes.
like, that's where all
the
of
situation.
It is from.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And people, like I said, I tweeted this earlier today, it's like, those moments is when things really shift for a lot of these players. Like, those moments really shift the game, especially, like, for Kobe. I can't think of a lot of athletes, but Kobe's a definition of, yo, this, like, Achilles from the shoulder injury, from that situation from Denver, where it's that I'm not going to let that little thing prevent me from achieving my goal, whether it means being better than Jordan, whether it means winning 6-7 rings. He never let that stop him from scoring, from being that number one scorer. And today we sit here remembering his legacy. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know?
And that was his way of responding to it. You know, ultimately, he wasn't going to be someone who came out embarrassed or sorrowful over it. And for better or worse, that's how he bounced back from it. It ultimately worked for him. And the way everyone's looking at him today, that's a product of how you respond to that.
He was also, honestly, one of the biggest examples of mastering the mind.
Yes.
Being able to control your thoughts and be able to control your focus to do something great in everything that he did. Like Obas mentioned earlier, he has an Oscar. Like, everything that he's done has been great. Like, that's just something that we probably may never see again, honestly.
And he came out of high school in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the college experience. He didn't have a lot of, you know, his father was an NBA player, right? So that's a given advantage that you have coming in. But at 18, it is still a massive jump heading into that league with how many veterans and legends were in that league. I mean, he played alongside Jordan early in his career.
Yeah.
So he had a battle with these greats. He had a lot of expectations on him coming in. Gilman, I feel like he exceeded what he was able to come in.
I mean, absolutely. As you said, he came out of high school. Very few players do that. Very few attain what he was capable of. And, I mean, going from Philadelphia high school to L.A., one of the biggest premier markets,
mm-hmm.
and just to become an international name, I mean, people, regardless of gender, age, everybody knows Kobe, and that's something very few individuals, regardless of the sporting world or not, that can say that.
So what do you guys think will ultimately be the impact of this moment? Like, for the rest of the season, or the, you know, years to come? You know, what do you think is going to come out of this?
The way people love basketball. Like, we're watching, you know, we have sports going on right now. We have, or the way, maybe not basketball, the way people work, the way people care about what they do.
Yeah.
The way, like, we have Neymar throwing up the 2-4, you know, Sabrina Ionescu from Oregon, they're all crying. No other NBA player has, it's just not like this. Like, Kobe's on a different level. People idolize Kobe, in a different way. And this is from everyone. This is, like, when I was in middle school in Western Massachusetts with random kids who don't even play basketball, you know, like, they're trying to, like, they're like, yeah, my favorite player is Kobe, like, not even a question. So I think that's what it is. And then you see it, the people that, you know, like, someone like Jason Williams is on ESPN just saying, like, he taught him how, like, to prioritize, how to work, like, all that kind of stuff. It's not, I don't think it's any of the, like, there's a ton of cultural stuff and, like, all that, but I think it's just, like, how to work, like, how to work.
Hillman, for you?
I mean, as Taylor said, the mentality, I think, especially as social media becomes more and more popular with these younger athletes, having someone, a Kobe, to kind of model your behavior after, I think, is very important. It helps keep you on track and just always questing for more, questing for championships. And it's just something really special.
I mean, like, Draymond Green is, like, my favorite player when I'm playing basketball, which is so nuts.
Well, it is who your game is.
My game model's over him, but, I mean, like, mentally, like, when I wake up every day, like, Kobe's definitely one of those guys. I don't really brag about who I aspire to be, but Kobe's definitely one of those guys. I've never seen somebody work so hard at 5 a.m. just going out shooting and doing what he wants to do. I mean, overcoming so many obstacles, throwing so many things at him, and the man still goes at it, you know, and he has this attitude of either fuck with me or you don't, and that's kind of the attitude I have now. So even his impact on the NBA, people are going to go harder. I mean, people are going to keep locking up, people are going to keep studying this game. Like, he left the plan for everybody to follow, and people are going to follow in and adapt to it and even bring their own critique to it. So that's his impact.
In terms of legacy, we're going to see him join the ranks officially of Jordan, of Jerry West as the logo, of those guys. I mean, whether you thought he was going to eventually or not after his Hall of Fame and after he aged, this is just going to speed up that process. I mean, we're about to see the league in the next few days, I think, retire his number almost unanimously. The Mavericks get the ball rolling today. How does everyone else not follow that after? Like, it's going to speed up the train of him becoming Mount Rushmore, whatever you want to call it, of this league, of basketball. And he had already built that for himself, but now we just step back and value it so much more. I mean, we've talked a million times about the Mac Miller impact of him passing and how that just elevated his music. Now this is just going to elevate, whether it was already there or not, where his game was at in the eyes of the world. And the tributes, everything else, are just going to be amazing.
To just sum up Kobe's life in one word, determination. Everything that he did was possible because of his immense determination to do whatever he wanted to do. And he succeeded in whatever he wanted to do. That's all we can really look at him for.
And there won't be another. I was thinking a month ago.
No.
There'll never be a Garnett.
No,
there'll never be another
shot.
Kobe. What this league really needs one day is another personality like that to just exceed the size of the sport. Because LeBron's time's coming too. Not his time, but like his time to retire. That's coming. And then he's going to be out of the league. And who do you have left that's just a larger-than-life personality like that? Curry's game reaches that degree, but not his personality.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, the game's in good hands. I feel confident that those people will emerge because, like Kobe, like, paves the way for this kind of, like, not that he paved the way, like, not on purpose, but, like, I feel like the league's in good hands because you have all these kids who came up watching how hard he worked. You don't have the workouts all summer long that are filmed and put on without Kobe. Mm-hmm. Not saying he was filming workouts, but, like, everybody knows how he, like, in the way basketball, the popularity has been exploding lately. Everyone's in the gym all the time now, and, like, who was, the number one guy that everyone knew was doing that? Like, it trickles down, so.
That's what I was trying to explain earlier. This might almost craft that next person and a young person. It regenerates his impact on a younger generation that didn't get to watch him. Because now let's say a kid's 6, 7 years old who didn't get to see him. They're going to grow up now watching highlights, and that's all they'll have of Kobe. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
The impact of today.
That's, well, obviously he's retired, but
yeah.
To be like all you have of Kobe is highlights, that's nuts.
Yeah, it's
the way you just said that. No, like, just that sentence right there is like...
Because even, like, after he retired, he was doing detail.
Yeah, just, like, seeing him on ESPN, just,
like,
seeing him wherever, like...
Just the thought of him being gone hasn't fully sunk in for me.
It feels like we're hearing about this all too often now with people who we grew up idolizing in some way, shape, or form. And that really is just part of the stage we're all at in life is you're going to see some great figures, whether it is family or friends or famous people... pass away, and that is one of the tougher parts again in the age that we're at. Like, it's just devastating with every person we see go by, and maybe we've seen an inordinate amount of people in such a short time go, but it is part of life for all of us now.
It was, it's this one's tough too, because like all of us are born after he gets drafted,
right? Yeah,
like we've seen people, you know, rise to popularity and then however they fall from, you know, whether they die, fall out of popularity, whatever. Like, we've seen rises and falls. This is, like, a constant sense forever. Like, I don't remember. There's not a second of my sports fandom or my life where it's, like, where I'm, like, not think like, Kobe's just, he's there.
He literally peaked and never came down.
Yeah.
Popularity.
Unbelievable. So that's Kobe, Bean Bryant, 41 years old. Still insane to think about typing this show up in honor of the death of Kobe Bryant. It just doesn't sound right. Nate Sperling on my right, Anthony Obas on my left, Tyler Gilman joining us here today. As always, Taylor McLeod producing this thing. You can
yes,
get
sir.
It at realbobmanning.com. Dome Theory, formerly the Bobcast. Sending out the best to the Bryant family, LA, and anybody who loved Kobe who's going through it today. And I think a lot of people are. So we'll see the tributes keep pouring out. This impact won't lessen anytime soon that it's had on people, and still, it'll take a while to come to grips with this one. Kobe Bryant dead at 41 today, January 26, 2020.